This is CliffCentral.com.
Now listen, there's a lot of excitement. Just in the last 2 weeks, I spoke to two people who are in financial services, and they've listened to the first two episodes of The Naked Economy, which I've also listened to, and I found it fascinating. The first episode was largely around a coffee shop, and the second episode around a spaza shop. And there's some interesting stories here and people behind the, you know, we often talk in this country about small businesses and how it all works and great ideas and the trials and tribulations of entrepreneurs. But really, this series to me is one of the first that tells those stories in a very interesting way. And you and your co-host, who's someone which we will talk about him in a moment, but you came up with this idea, The Naked Economy.
Yeah, it's a personal journey for me, and I'm very excited to share stories like this with people because I think it resonates on so many different levels for people. When you hear the stories of real people that have done things and how it's changed their lives, but also changed the lives of real people around them and communities. I mean, in the case of the Whippet Coffee Shop, which we feature, it's literally brought up the suburb of Linden. There's so many good things going on in that suburb.
And Linden
now
needed all the help it could get.
Well, that's so interesting that you mention that, because the building that my family owns in Melville, they've just started up in there.
Yeah, and because they're doing good things, and it's
great,
and it's,
guys.
And
yeah,
it's so inspiring to. I mean, we often talk about entrepreneurship, and then it doesn't, for most people, it doesn't resonate. It doesn't inspire you until you realize that it's personal. Until you're able to think about putting yourself in the shoes of the person telling the story, and the extent to which his stories have similarities with the challenges that you're facing, be it one of, like, I hate my job, I hate going there, I spend so much time at the office, but I don't feel like I'm busy with something meaningful. I mean, how many people on a Friday night braai talk about, oh, it's such a dredge, I just wait for payday. I do stuff that, sure, if I'm good at it, then maybe my bonus is a little bit bigger. But basically, it's about making more money for the company.
And it's soulless, and people hate their lives. And work does take up a huge amount of our time. And if you're not enjoying what you're doing, you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, I'm not too naive in saying that everybody should make massive, drastic changes to their lives. But I am inspired by the stories that I've heard in preparation for this podcast, but also from people that have listened to it and then come back to me and said, it's such an exciting thing to think about doing something that's meaningful.
But you've lived this yourself. I mean, this is why you're excited by this, because you've actually done it. And a lot of people will say things and they'll pretend they know things, but you actually know because you've experienced this. Tell us your story.
Yeah, look, the latest episode, which is airing on Cliff Central tomorrow, is Shane got me to open up a little bit. He got me to tell my story, and so I won't spoil too much of it. But it's basically have the fact that I was in an industry, or I am in an industry, where the moment you mention the name, people just shut off completely, because there's so much advertising and so much bad stories going on.
You're in insurance, and I remember the first time I met you, you said, "I'm in insurance, but..." As if it was like, uh-oh.
I needed to anticipate you shutting down, eh?
So is that what you really found? You'd stand around with your friends at a braai and people would all be talking about what they were doing, and you weren't thrilled to admit you were in insurance?
Literally. I'm trained as an actuary, and so I studied how to...
It's a hard degree to get. It's a really tough thing to study.
I mean, you spoke about maths earlier. It's such a cool one, because what it's all about is statistics. It's about predicting people's behavior. It's about, I mean, the core purpose of it is to quantify what you should charge the guy in terms of premium. Mm-hmm. But then once you've done that, the actuarial skill set is about predicting how people will behave. And looking at large numbers of people and saying, we think 60% of people will do that, and if we do this, then they will do that. And it's such a powerful skill set. And so that's why the obvious place for most actuaries to work in is insurance.
Insurance, yeah.
But increasingly, as I saw how insurance companies are run, it was not something that I would want my mom to buy. It was.
Were you actually embarrassed by being in the insurance industry, or were you worried that it wasn't the kind of thing that was doing your soul any good? I mean, what kind of feeling was it?
I mean, I wasn't embarrassed because I was a little bit more sort of sad about it because I knew the concept of and the principle of how well it could work.
Right.
What an amazing difference it could make to individuals' lives and to people in society and to stability in society. And also, I knew a lot of people working in insurance. And so, I mean, I also said this the other day that me talking about the insurance industry in this episode of The Naked Economy is not about a carte blanche episode. I don't want to stir some big thing in terms of saying people are, there's some bad people or there's evil going on. Like, there's good people working in insurance. I am just sad that where companies are set up to focus only on making as much profit as possible, inevitably, even those good people spend their time finding ways to make more money. And mostly, unfortunately, that's very often at the expense of real people.
Yeah, I mean, you look around at these insurance companies, and I'm talking about all the big ones that everybody knows off the top of their head, right? They all have big headquarters. They seem to be making, they're printing money. And you wonder, how's this possible? Because we know a very small percentage of the population is actually insured at all. Is that true?
Yeah, so it's funny that, I mean, it's definitely less than 10% of people have any form of short-term insurance. Less than 30% of cars that are being driven in South Africa are insured.
Oh, you're kidding me.
That's a scary stat.
So in an accident, you've got a 1 in 3 chance
that the other oak is insured.
Oh, yeah.
Now, right. I mean, what shouldn't scare you about that is the risk of damage to your own car. Because if you're insured, then
you're covered. Sure.
But what should scare you is if you're one of the 7 out of 10 people that's driving without insurance, mm-hmm. and you drive into a Ferrari, then you need to pay the 5 million rand. So, I mean,
it's not going to happen, like, right?
And yeah, I mean, it's a whole nother thing that I feel very strongly about making insurance more accessible to. So, I mean, because if you can afford a car, if you can afford to put petrol in the car, then you can afford to buy insurance. Not if the insurance premium includes the overheads of paying for a whole bunch of old processes,
yeah.
Which is part of why I'm super excited, is the fact that using new technology just reduces costs so much, and we can sell insurance with zero marginal cost.
Now, that's interesting because obviously technology has enabled actuaries to access information that wasn't available before and huge amounts of it that you could never have put on a spreadsheet and actually sat there with a calculator and worked out before. Now the big data of insurance is its most valuable asset, right? And this allows you to make those predictive algorithms and to be able to figure what people might or might not do so much more accurately that you actually cut down the costs and you improve the efficiency hugely. Mm.
And It's on two levels where that automation or the technology really gets exciting. On that one level is sort of on the predictive side,
yeah.
Where understanding and crunching those massive amounts of data, the system gets so clever that it can really charge two people that look very similar that traditionally would have paid the same premium. It can start charging them different premiums because they really are different risk profiles.
So it's as granular as that? You can get detailed?
The things you...
That is exciting, and you'd say insurance isn't exciting. This is really going to tell us about people.
Yeah, every single thing that you do is data. So when you click on something on the internet, when you take 7 seconds to read an email, but see it takes 10 seconds, it tells you something about the space of mind that the oak is in, the kinds of behavior that he inhibits, mm-hmm. That he exhibits, and it informs the machine to make decisions about how it should treat you next.
Just tell me quickly, as a matter of interest and curiosity more than anything else, we see huge amounts being spent on insurance advertising all over South Africa. They're one of the biggest advertisers, the insurance industry. But I believe a Google ad word for insurance or insure or any of those is the most expensive Google AdWord you can buy.
Absolutely. So
let's explain this to people who don't know what a Google AdWord is.
So there's two ways to go about. I mean, obviously a lot of people get to your site to interact with your business after putting something into Google, a key phrase, so cheap insurance or whatever, and then want, and then hopefully your name appears. Now, your name can appear in one of two ways. Either your the website is so good in using that word and becoming a force. They talk about being a credible authority on the topic. So without you paying, if your website is really good in using that word, then your website will rank up pretty high. They call that search engine optimization.
Mm-hmm.
But the other way is for you to simply throw money at the problem. So simply right. to simply bid by saying, if someone uses, if someone types in the word cheap insurance, I am willing to pay, call it 12 Rand or 14 Rand to be one of the first three names that appears. So you will always see organic results. Those are the ones that are not paid for. And you'll always see paid results. And every year they rank the keywords or the search words where – so for every word in Google, there is a market because uh-huh. the more people that are willing to bid higher prices for it, the higher the price goes for that particular item. And so consistently, insurance is the word in South Africa – that is the most expensive.
Amazing.
And it's, I mean, of course, you're going to ask me, what is that price? It depends. It depends very much on how specific you want to be in terms of things like the other risk profiles.
Sure.
So not only when you type in insurance, not only are you participating in the general market for people that have typed insurance, they also know that you are, however, 38 or whatever,
yeah.
and you're sitting in Sandton. So the person
so
that
in geotagging, that,
like,
and
it's set
everything.
Up all of it, so you can say, I want to compete in the market, but I'm willing to play in the 15 to 20 Rand space for people in Sandton that are younger than 40.
So here, out of pure interest for people who want to know how the advertising business works online, Google AdWords advertising, number one is insurance, which we've just discussed now. Number two is loans. Number three is mortgage. It's all to do with finance, right? Number four is attorney.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Number five is credit. Number six is lawyer. It's a version yeah. of attorney. Seven is donate. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, that's nice.
Eight is degree. Nine is hosting. And 10 is claim, which again has to do with insurance. But insurance is by far the biggest, 24%.
Sure.
Yeah. Number two only comes in at 12.8% loans. So insurance is by far the biggest category.
And so, I mean, it's interesting, Gareth, that, I mean, you spoke about the billboards earlier. And I always say that, when people see a big billboard with a smiling, happy family and some cell phone contract being advertised or some loan or some whatever, and it uses words like, we really will go the extra mile
we
for your family.
About
we
you.
We are so, you are, we'll do anything for your family. Immediately, the audience knows, oh, okay, so this is a traditional business
yeah.
that says one thing, but actually they're probably doing a whole bunch of other rubbish in the background. Like, immediately you don't trust it. So it's
sure.
ironic that the spend for that stuff is still so enormous. And the most encouraging thing for me, I mean, there's been so many positives, but one of the most encouraging things for me over the last 6 or 8 months since we opened the doors to Naked Insurance is, without paying money for those traditional advertising methods, how many people are just standing up at a braai, at an office cooler, online, just saying, Oaks, you must check this thing out. I know insurance is a grudge, but these Oaks are onto something. They're using technology. They're using ethical business practices. It's just all so transparent. It's so easy. They're saving costs. I've had an amazing experience. And, I mean, insurance is super
boring. Word of mouth is still the most powerful thing there is.
Definitely. Right?
And I think traditional advertising – and sort of the people that work in advertising agencies and that sort of thing, I think they wanted us to get to a point where we were believing that it's all online, it's all digital, so you must pay to get your airtime in front of your audience.
These days, if people love what you're doing, they do that work for you.
They're
you
doing
don't
that work
pay.
For you. And we're so grateful for the people that discover Naked Insurance.
And how old is Naked Insurance?
So we started working on it full-time 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
Because a bunch of us had big, cushy corporate careers in insurance.
Yeah, you guys were all in one or more of the other big insurers.
We were mostly...
Just out of interest, how did you... Because people often ask me this. What was the point where you realized you had to do something on your own and you had to do something differently? And why did you decide to make that? Because you could have stayed in a cushy job.
So the three of us that started Naked were all consulting actuaries. So we were actually not working for an insurance company. We were consulting to multiple
right.
insurers. And our office was just down the road here in Sandton, and we were working with almost all of the big insurance companies and doing projects to try and transform these businesses, but realizing that they're just not going to get there. And then a funny thing happened. I actually said, listen, I've had enough. I'm going to go live in a small town and have a little bit of a quiet time and do something else for a while. And actually, the moment I left, the other two got to work, like, very seriously, saying, okay, now let's draw up the plans. It's time to build a proper version of insurance. And it was so refreshing that about a year later, they told me, let's start talking to investors. It's time I start packing my things to come back to Joburg.
Where were you? What little town was this?
George.
Okay, we were talking about George.
Yeah, so I was actually working.
Was there anything happening there while you were there?
I was working on my handicap down there, which is I had a nice setup because my whole family's down there, so I was putting in some family time. I was working with another small little insurance business, which actually had some really nice people, and I was doing something else there just for a while these other two were planning our big next move.
So episode 3 of The Naked Economy is all about the insurance industry, which is obviously, you know, Shane made you open up about it, which I think is cool because this is something you can give people an insight into that world that they might not have had before. There are people in South Africa who've really done very well from insurance, right?
It's a funny product in that you really don't want it, but you need to buy it.
Yeah.
And then the provider is in a great position because it's a recurring product, but they know you want to forget about it. So if an insurer is so inclined to interact with you in a way where just gradually change the product over time, just gradually send you a newsletter with an attachment that says, oh, by the way, your excess is 10 grand, not 5 grand anymore, the likelihood of you actually opening up that newsletter and realizing that your excess has changed is quite low. And so it's an industry that has become very good, certain people, not all of them. I'm not bashing everybody. All I'm saying is I saw that there are some people that became good at realizing that you can interact with people without them really realizing that you've done it.
You know how I know that's true? Is if you try to cancel or move to another one, then suddenly they throw all kinds of deals at you, and you're like, well, wasn't this the deal I got in the beginning?
Yeah.
Names mentioned, but this is what happens. As soon as you try to cancel, then they've got counter offers. And you're like, well, why didn't you offer me something better?
Yes.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah. I've just changed insurance companies, and that happened to me.
Yeah, you see?
and eventually I just said, the perks that come with it outweigh anything that you could offer.
I mean, so on that, Leanne, we ended up building a tech process where, because it's all run on artificial intelligence, the client can press one button and instantly they cancel. So if it's in the middle of the month, they get the rest of their month's premium back immediately. And I designed that sort of thinking that it will be really convenient because I really want people to be able to interact with this thing like they're grown-ups.
Right.
I mean, why do you need to speak to them for 40 minutes just to get the counter offered? Like, you're a grown-up. If you want to cancel, just press the button. That's how we built it. Turns out, I'm so excited by what it actually achieves. What it actually achieves is it's a guarantee that as long as you're with Naked, you are paying the right price. You're getting our best offer forever. Because we've built a system where there is no way that anybody can ever negotiate with you. If we change
to try and talk you back into it.
If we change your policy over time, it'll only be for the better. Because if you want to leave ever,
You
just click that one button.
See, I like that too. Because my God, it's a process with some of the insurers. So let's just talk about the Naked Economy series quickly so that people can get to know what that's about. It's really about inspiring you to think differently about how you work and how you buy. The Naked Economy tells stories of individuals from the visionary entrepreneur to the kitchen staff to the engineer who knows the deepest secrets. People who work in companies that are designed in a new way. People who are proud of how things are done behind the scenes. The Naked Economy is not about being inefficient or singing kumbaya. Part of the criteria for companies featured in the series is not just the big picture thinking of their role in society, but also whether they use technology or other ways of improving processes so everybody can win. I mean, isn't this what you hear from all the big Silicon Valley companies and all of those people who are trying to forge the new fourth industrial revolution and, and all these buzzwords that we hear all over, right? That's what it is.
Yeah. It's tricky, though, because I think you often hear sort of people talking about changes in business or trends, but only referring to one element of it. So only focusing exclusively on tech, or only focusing exclusively on values or social responsibility, or focusing exclusively on automation or whatever. And what I found was by asking real people to open up about the success of their businesses and what it means for them to work in these companies, you get quite a balanced view of people that have seen improvements through technology or other more efficient ways of doing things, but simultaneously balance that with asking the question, but why does this organization exist?
Yeah.
Like, why do all of us get up in the morning to work in this organization?
Right.
And that balance has been really refreshing for me.
Tell me quickly about AI, because we talk about technology. How is AI working in your business, and how do you think it'll start to change the way that other businesses work?
Yeah, I mean, I said earlier that one element of the exciting part of it that we spoke about is how the analytics work better, and accordingly you can do the technical things better, like predicting whether someone will have a claim, even though on paper you and I look similar.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of it, of course, is that it makes it so much more convenient for people. I mean, we are in the year 2019 that you still need to speak to a call center just
to buy an
insurance policy. It just doesn't make sense.
And so, also, feel sorry for all those people sitting in that call center who have to deal with rude clients the whole time.
Yeah. Man,
what a horrible job.
Because people get irritated by the 30th minute of being on it. So I'm really excited about the practical improvement it brings to the user in terms of AI allowing you to do things instantly. Press a button, it's done. But the big thing that I'm really excited about, Gareth, because obviously we need to talk about the sort of the realities of our country and some of the challenges that we're facing, and creating work and being an economy where we can keep creating work is a very important point. And what I'm excited about, what AI is doing to the insurance industry, is it's forcing us to create jobs where A, you are thinking, you're not just executing. Like, we have software developers that are using the absolute latest technology, literally the things that Facebook and Twitter are built with. And sure. And they are using it to come up with creative ways of making the client's life easier. Like, I'm so proud of those software developers, because they are, I mean, the stuff that they're doing is not in a textbook anywhere. They're learning it.
It's pioneering, yeah.
But the other side of job creation that is important for me is jobs with empathy. So even in the insurance industry,
in the Whippet story, was an important part of it.
It's about real people connecting with other people. And even in the insurance industry, there will be jobs where we need a human to step in and say, "Let me just listen to your story. I want to sincerely try and help you here. I wanna understand why this is anxious, why it's causing anxiety for you." And what we're excited about, if you think about our claims process, the majority of our claims will be the client clicking a button, AI processing it, no human intervention, the appointment at the panel beta set up, you arrive, it's done, no human intervention ever. The majority of our claims will be like that, but there will be times when our AI flags that something else is going on here. This client seems upset. This client maybe needs to speak to someone.
It can pick that up?
Absolutely. I mean, the speed at which you're talking, the time of night that something happens, the kind of person that you are, we will pick up that certain people need to speak to a human. And I'm excited about creating a new kind of job where you don't have to sit behind in a little dark corner from 8 to 5. But if you're a single mom with 2 hours to spare and you want to work for 2 hours, then log on from home for 2 hours and sign up for 5 claim conversations in those 2 hours.
So
it helps speak to some of our clients.
It's almost like part-time piecemeal jobs, but you can add value where you want to add value.
Exactly.
It's very clever.
I mean, because the future of the economy lies in finding efficient ways for people to work, but also to recognize where, as technology increases, where are the areas where it will fall short. And if I think of our scenario in terms of insurance, the majority of times people don't want to speak to a person. And so we'll build our process so that the majority of times you don't. But every now and then you want to. And we will have the option for people to press the button to say, I want to speak to a human. But we'll also have our AI get better and better at finding what those scenarios are so that someone that wants to work for 2 hours and log on and speak to clients can do that. And then the really exciting part for me is I put myself in the shoes of that person. That's a meaningful job. That's thinking to yourself, I'm not just trying to read through the script and find a ways to see if there's a loophole
just
for the insurance.
Going through the motions.
Yeah, or a loophole for the insurance company to make more money.
Yeah, like or you want to lie to the insurance company because you know that they're ripping you off, so you want to get them back. And there's so much deceit going on there from the clients and from the insurance company a lot of the time, right?
That's a very interesting point that you make where people are often bad-mouthing the insurance industry. But as clients, it's funny how many of us would stand up and sort of call ourselves fairly good people, but we would stand up and say, oh, I was willing to lie to my insurance company just because I sort of feel entitled.
I know people who've even boasted about it. Yeah. And you say to them, you realize that you're screwing everyone else when you do that.
Yeah. And it's
why they get all draconian.
It's so exciting to see the kinds of people that are excited about insuring with Naked. And the fact that they feel they have a different kind of relationship to what they had with a typical insurance company. And I can't put, I mean, I'm a guy of facts and numbers, and so I can't put my head on a block about this. Mm-hmm. But I'm expecting less fraud and less inflated claims from people like that. And ultimately a win-win for us all. Ultimately, lower premiums. I mean, just people feel differently about Naked Insurance because they sort of see that we're designed on different principles.
Who wouldn't want that? Doesn't that sound good, mm-hmm. Sia?
Yeah. Huh?
Well, I'm very excited for episode 3 of The Naked Economy. We've already heard episode 1 about the Whippet and episode 2 about Vulega, which is an app that facilitates bulk purchases of goods sold by township retailers and spaza shops. And the founder's mission to uplift the community. So in episode 3, you get to hear from Ernest his own story of learning why there is actually so little love in insurance companies. And he shares his journey in discovering how this could be different and why they decided to start their own business. The Naked Economy on cliffcentral.com. Next episode available from tomorrow. Make sure you don't miss it. Thank you, Ernest. Nice to see you.
Oh, it's awesome to be here and so chuffed to be part of this journey. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely. And congratulations for thinking outside of the box in every respect. Naked Insurance sounds like it's a wizard of a product. I think a lot of people are going to be thinking that they need to make some changes in their life accordingly.
This is CliffCentral.com.